Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. Hope we didn't rise up yesterday. My name is Mike Johnson. She's Allie Mack. He's Dylan Matthews. And at some point in the next hour, probably, he's going to be Squidbilly Bo Morgan. But he's not here just yet because he's still hanging out with the Atlanta Falcons players, getting off the airplane right down in Hartsfield-Jackson. So at some point, he'll be coming in here hanging out. But guys, I don't think there's any reason to delay anymore. Talking about the inevitable, Allie. It was a rough day yesterday.
It was a rough day last night. How many hours exactly do you think 92.9 The Game has gone without your voice at this point, Mike Johnson?
I don't know.
Three, four?
I don't know. You know, it's the more you can do, the harder it is to get rid of you. That's how I always approach life. So there you go.
I can tell you. So we ended the broadcast, the post-game broadcast, at approximately 1:24. And now you're back at 1:04.
Okay.
So
6:04.
Oh, I'm tripping.
You're without sleep too.
You're doing great. Brain. I was going to say, you're on the same page as me.
So brain is fried. 6:04. So that's, what, a little less than 5 hours?
Yeah. Wouldn't have it any other way. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
It's
but
good
I'm happy
to be
here.
Yes, yes.
I am happy to be here.
We are going
to
be taking your calls all morning. I know everyone's got a lot of feelings about what we watched last night. 404-726-0929. But let's get you caught up on a headline-filled weekend. Some fun, some not so fun. For instance, a couple firings over the weekend. Florida has parted ways with Billy Napier, even though they won over Mississippi State. Atlanta United has fired manager Ronnie Dyla. Ronnie is out after one season. Georgia beat Ole Miss 43-35, handed the Rebels their first loss of the season. As far as the MLB playoffs, Dodgers swept the NLCS, took down the Brewers 5-1 on Friday, so they will be moving on. But the ALCS got interesting. Last night, Blue Jays decided to give us a show, making it a 7-game series. They'll take on the Mariners tonight. Winner heads to the World Series. Yeah,
Dodgers just posted like a mailbox over there waiting on somebody to step up and play them.
They're
you know
just
what I mean?
Waiting. No.
Hey, posted like a privacy fence, baby. Hey, y'all let me know when y'all are done over there. I'll sit over here.
The Mariners and Blue Jays are just like, let us have a moment. You're going to have your moment.
Yeah.
We want the spotlight right now.
Yeah, it's intense, man.
But
intense.
Of course, our Falcons fell last night to the 49ers 20-10. They're 3-3 for the season, taking your calls all morning on this loss. Was there a certain play you saw where you knew it was not going to go the Falcons' way last night? 404-726-0929. And let's just jump in. Hear from Raheem Morris right off the bat. He had an interview with Dave Archer after the game. I'll let him talk about what went wrong.
You know, we made mistakes from a coaching standpoint. We made mistakes from a playing standpoint. We got to go fix those things. Those things can't happen. You know, you play in these type of big-time games, you play these type of big-time opponents, you got to come prepared and you got to be ready to deal.
Ooh. Ooh. Man, well, we played that on the post-game show just a few hours ago. It was, I don't know, I want to say, what's the word I'm going to use here? I'm going to say refreshing. It was refreshing. There was a level of accountability in his voice, and he talked about the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've all, and I don't think he's just talking about Zach Robinson. I think he's talking about Jeff Ulbrich, too, the whole 12 men on the field, 10 men on the field situation
right
there at the end of the game last night. So, yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. Everybody involved in the organization, everybody involved in that coaching staff all the players. I think there does need to be a level of accountability, and talking about how things need to be better and, you know, all the things that didn't go their way in last night's game. I like Raheem's response to Dave Archer right there. And of course, we'll break it down over the next 3 hours, but I thought the response was the proper tone given the product we saw on the field. And it just is not what we've grown to expect in prime time for the Falcons this year. They've stepped up more times than not under Raheem Morris's tutelage, and it's not what you got.
Mike, this may not be a fair question, but I want to ask it anyway. If you had to divvy it up into percentages, let's make a pie graph for our listeners real quick, because there are going to be a lot of listeners that feel like this was all on the offense, which it wasn't. There is some blame to be handed out to the defense, as Raheem said, and I think we all agree with. There's some blame to be handed out to the coaches. So if you split up between offense, defense, coaching staff, how would you divvy up the blame as far as who deserves more, who deserves less, and things of that nature?
That's a phenomenal question. I'm gonna give you credit. That is a phenomenal question. And I'm gonna go somewhere along the lines of, trying to do math in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly on the offense.
I agree.
On the offensive players. I'm not going to split the coaches up in offense and defense. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's part of the question. So I'll say whatever comes next, maybe at 45, 35, and then the 20. So I'd say 35 on the coaches, and I'd say 20 on the defensive players.
I'm with you.
I'm like right there. You know, mm-hmm. I think the offensive players did not play with a level of tenacity that they would want to, given watching the tape. You know, they're going to do a good, bad, and the ugly. They're going to do watch the film. They just didn't play with the level of intensity that could match the 49ers. At the same time, I don't think the offensive staff and the offensive scheme is doing enough, nearly enough, to allow them to step in and be comfortable with their roles and play with that level of tenacity. The defense had its struggles. And what's frustrating, I think, about the defense, guys, is when the whole build up to the season, we talked to multiple people, and we had this conversation on this show a dozen times. I'm not sure how they're going to stop the run on the interior. They lost Eddie Goldman, right? They lost Grady Jarrett. They didn't draft any interior players. Now, Rook and Brandon Dorlus have had a great start to the year, but they're not that guy, right? They're not like the run-stuffing defensive tackles that you've grown to love throughout the NFL. So the question was, how can you stop the run? Last night, the answer was you couldn't. Right, you couldn't stop the run. And so I think the defense definitely deserves some part of the blame. It's just, to me, it's the least part. It's the smallest amount when you break it into, you know, a pie graph like Dylan's talking about.
Do you think the score appropriately reflects, though, how the game went? Because they made that touchdown later in the game. I felt like it was pretty close throughout most of the game.
It definitely was. And in God. Your question that goes back to what we want the callers to talk about, when did you know that the Falcons were going to lose?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to have people out there that are weighing in going, when they strapped on the uniform, when Raheem Morris put on his hat, when he put on his joggers on the way to the sideline, I knew they were going to lose because Raheem can't coach, or whatever else it may be. I think that you're going to have most people that will probably answer, if they're being honest, the attempted 4th-and-1 conversion where you tried to throw it to Drake London on 4th-and-1. That was brutal. But you go back to that moment, and if you can convert that play, this is a completely different game with a different outcome, in my opinion. But you had 3rd-and-1, you couldn't get it. You had 4th-and-1, you couldn't get it. And that really was what changed the game. I don't mind the call. I hated the play call. But they've got to get something figured out. But, yeah, I mean, there's just so many situations. Then you look at the possibility and the opportunity to get at least a field goal right before halftime, and Michael Penix gets intentional grounding. 10-second runoff. The half ends. You don't get any points out of a situation where I was like, maybe they have a shot at the end zone. Nope. Zero. Go to the locker room. Off the interception when you didn't get any points off the interception. It's just so many different little nuances and caveats throughout the game that left you disappointed, and it's just unfortunate because you're right. All things considered, yardage-wise, whatever else your eyeballs saw, it could have been a much different result at the end.
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of stats that we'll dig into. And I know you've kind of gone through a few different plays, probably haven't settled on one where, Mike, believe you know. So I have one for me.
Okay.
It was when they said Divine Diablo was out for the rest of the game.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal one.
I was like,
phenomenal.
Oh, no.
Phenomenal. And Grant and I talked about this on postgame, too. It's a phenomenal call by you. We talked about this on postgame a little bit as well, because it changes everything. Right now, J.D. Bertrand enters the game. Do you trust J.D. Bertrand to be that middle linebacker spot that we've talked about numerous times where we kind of run a 5-1 defensive front, roll a nickel into the box, or we roll a safety in the box? That position when Divine Diablo runs a 4-4-40, it's different. He can be rangy. You can leave one linebacker. J.D. Bertrand, while he is gritty in the stat column, showed that he played well last night and had a couple of good short yardage plays. He's not going to be the sideline-to-sideline guy that Divine Diablo is. So now all of a sudden, you're asking Caden Ellis to do different things. Jalen Walker did not suit up. Billy Bowman did not suit up. And so now you're changing three or four different spots with Divine Diablo not on the field because you don't have anybody else like him. So that's a really good call by you.
Yeah, it just felt like there were little moments where your stomach just kept sinking just a little bit, a little bit. Dylan, do you have any plays or any moments where you were just like, this is not going our way?
Bad vibes.
The play for me that probably made me feel that way is I'm probably going to have to say the one where Michael Penix Jr. has the fumble, and it's just like, yeah, this might be one of those days.
That's a good call as well.
Might be one of those
days.
That's
a good call as well, man. There'd be some people that say when Tyler Allgeier got hobbled, and you brought him in the game two, three plays later to attempt the fourth down play, you knew he wasn't getting the ball probably, but Felipe Franks is also in. He's been hobbled. He had a calf all week, and that's when you throw the ball in fourth and one. So I don't know. It was the Divine Diablo call is a great one. There were just so many little small things throughout that game where you're like, sheesh, this is not pointing our. But I think you bring up a good point as well, that I think that at the end of the game, you still had every opportunity to go out there and get points and win. And it wasn't really until I looked at the box score and I tweeted this out that the amount of first downs that we got was only 3 on the ground. As much as we've been able to run the ball, we had 19 first downs, 3 of them rushing. They had 22, 23 first downs and like 11 or 12 of them rushing. They ran the ball whenever they wanted to. We simply could not. And so that was kind of the difference in the game.
Well, and you had to hold out hope after seeing that Broncos game. I mean, that was absolutely wild with 33 points in the fourth quarter.
Man, that's crazy.
I know we have to go to break, but I want to throw out one more question because, Mike, does it make you feel any better? Because if you look at the numbers, y'all were just talking about it, Christian McCaffrey is really the only guy that killed you. I mean, I know they were good in the running game, but Christian McCaffrey had the bulk of those yards. Receiving yards, he had the bulk of those yards too. I mean, besides that, I think their best receiver was Juwan Jennings, 4 for 31. It was really just you not having an answer for Christian McCaffrey. Because it was really just McCaffrey that killed you, does it make you feel any better because you know who McCaffrey is? Or does it make you feel worse because, like, we only really had to stop one dude? If we could have at least neutralized him, this could have been a different outcome.
It's the second one for me. When you know it's one guy and you know that they're playing, left-handed, and Brock Purdy's not in, and Kittle's back, but he's rusty. I don't think he caught a ball last night.
Nah, he was targeted twice, but no catches.
Yeah, so, I mean, when it is just one guy, but you know it's one guy, and the defensive coaches know it's one guy, and there's still nothing you can do, that's a bad feeling. You know what I mean? I'd rather be misdirected to death and be having the conversation. Had bad eyes right there. You know, got to have eye discipline.
Yeah. Kendrick Bourne on the double move killed us.
I'd rather have that one than have it be like, man, they just hit us right in the mouth and there was nothing we could do or say about it. That's frustrating.
Our phone lines are open all morning, 404-726-0929. Call in with your thoughts, your feelings, your concerns about this Falcons team. And we're going to continue to talk about it. We hated to see it, but got to get into that loss from last night. We'll slice and dice what happened next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan just walked in the door, and Dylan is behind the glass. Sports Talk on The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Although I will say, the NFL yesterday was not so much fun if you're a Falcons fan. Falcons lost to the 49ers 20-10. They're at 3-3 for the season. I'm looking for bright spots. So Michael Penix finished the game 21 of 38 with 241 passing yards, one touchdown. He's thrown for over 2,000 yards through his first nine starts. And since we are looking for the bright spots to say, I'll say that's the most yards by any quarterback through nine career starts in franchise history.
There you go. What a nice little tidbit. That does make me feel 1% better. 1% better, but I'll take it at this point. Okay. It's been a rough morning.
Well, let's hear from Michael Penix. He talked with Dave Archer after the game yesterday about how this team has just too much talent for nights like this.
Yeah, for sure. I do feel like we got to go to the drawing board, you know, see what things that we feel like we could do better at. But, you know, from a standpoint of what I feel right now, you know, I feel like we just got to find ways to score, put points on the board. That's all it is. And that comes to execution, because I feel like we got great talent, amazing talent all across the board. So I don't feel like anybody should stop us from putting up points on the board. So we got to find a way to do that.
Bo, hey, man, how's it going?
Yeah, what's going on?
I was like, just jump on in, man. The water's fine.
Yeah, I just didn't want to jump all over you because, you know, you got a flow going in the first segment. I listened to the first segment. Dylan with a phenomenal question. That was pretty good.
That was a great question. Thank you, sir.
But your bumper didn't look fixed.
It's happening today. 3:30. Thank you. See, Allie was listening.
It was on the recap, too. See, I listened. I got in the truck perfect timing. Look, I don't know. Like, I thought Penix did not play well at all in the first half. And I thought he played better in the second half. The mistake at the end of the first half is the problem I had with the throwaway that turned into intentional grounding was it felt lackadaisical the way he threw it away. And what happened was is he's flushed and there's a guy right there as he tries to exit the pocket. You know, I saw some ridiculous takes already that he's not progressing, which I think is absolute asinine to even put in the air after what, 9 games. I think he's progressing. I think you got to understand that he is still a young quarterback, and he doesn't. I mean, last year C.J. Stroud had regressed at this point in the season, and then they made another playoff. So you see some good things. The one thing I want to ask Mike that I saw, and Arch and I slightly discussed it, is when he gets out of the pocket and you get so far towards the sideline, just freaking go, man. Like, stop like you're going to throw the ball. That's what happened when Bergeron gets downfield, one of those ineligible. But my point is like, he could get upfield. He's athletic enough. He's a good enough athlete to get upfield and get 3 to 6 yards and get a positive gain. And I like the fact that he wants to throw the ball. Don't get me wrong. But just pull the trigger with your legs and get some yardage, instead of a throwaway or forcing a ball, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree with that concept. I'd go a little bit different direction. I'd say not so much on the rollouts as just climbing the pocket and escaping north and south. You know, we there isn't now. Of course, they were getting. He was getting rushed in his face. He was getting rushed from all over the place last night. So that's not really so much what you're talking about. But you do look last week against Buffalo. It's like climb the pocket, escape, get north and south. The rollouts. Some you know. Sometimes he had guys in his face. But I'm with you, man. He's got to do more. A little bit more
the,
with his
the
legs.
The thing,
for sure.
Real quick, that I would say last night is you know, you want to talk about everybody wants one person to blame, and I think last night's one of those nights where there's not just one person to blame. But you lost both sides of the trenches last night. You got pushed around on both sides. The reason you couldn't stop Christian McCaffrey was because they were parting the season. He's such a good running back that he hits it and puts it in the next gear, and he's 6 yards down the field before you're going to get an arm on him.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, they were getting it. You know, Jake is a little banged up. Elijah Wilkinson didn't have a great night early against Bryce Huff. And they came after your tackles, and they got enough of an interior push to make it uncomfortable. And so they won the trenches last night. And when you lose the trenches in the NFL, you're going to lose most football games.
I agree.
Well, and on days like this, we love to turn the show over to you because obviously emotions are high right now. We want to hear your concerns, comments about last night's game, 404-726-0929. Dylan, let's go out to G in Kennesaw. G, thanks for calling. What's going on this morning?
Hey, since Bo Morgan just walked in, Mike Mafia.
I love
it. Hey, man, listen, man. It's one of two things, man. Either this coaching staff, this offensive coordinator is terrible, or Mike Penix, he looked lost out there, man. He looks really, really lost. Another thing, when we need 1 yard, when it's fourth and one, everybody in the building should know that Bijan Robinson is going to get the ball and you can't stop him. Why is it that they're always getting cute on fourth and short instead of going with the obvious?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a coaching scheme or what, man, but I hate to say it, man. We may have to turn back to Kirk Cousins because he missed a couple of throws last night.
We're not going to Kirk Cousins. Of course, that's a call from Mike's Mafia.
Don't get angry with that, man. I think he's spot on about a couple of different things.
I tell you, the one guy I won't get in the ball is Tyler Allgeier in short yardage situations.
Well, here's what I would say to G is they gave Bijan Robinson the ball the play before that, did they not, on third and one?
Yeah. How'd it go?
I think that there you are. I mean, like, I don't necessarily, you know, think that Bijan's the one that has to have the ball on fourth and one. I think it should have been a throw? No. You know, I think you should have some other things kind of designed where you can actually convert a short yardage play. That's the most maddening thing of the game last night is when they wanted to rip off eight on the ground. Didn't matter what down it was, they were going to get eight.
Are we big enough in the interior of the line?
No.
To go up there and do a quarterback sneak with
No,
Penix?
We're not. We're not. Simply put, we're not. Here's the thing, though. If you can put Felipe Franks at quarterback, can you not put LaKeel London at a guard position?
Well,
I've seen it done before.
I know,
I'm just
but that's a bad one for me because you know he wasn't even out there last night. So
right.
I know
right,
what your
well,
point
I was going to say TQ Graham, but
I know
he
what your
practice.
Point. Yeah, I know what your point is,
you know what
and
I'm
I
saying.
Think I think it's a solid point. That's just you know me. I like that's why I said I like the Warner. That's why you know I like the. I'd like a tight end dive, which a fullback dive, really. Like, you know, a big guy getting the ball in those situations. There's no doubt you want to see this. There is, you know, it's kryptonite. And honestly, Mike, it's been kryptonite since before you played. Well, actually, since you played. Because I feel like when some of those guys with Harvey Dahl and all those guys left, we haven't been able to get short yardage have been, you know, 40, 30% chance of making it since. And I don't know.
Yeah, we weren't great with Harvey. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, it was maddening at times.
It's very frustrating, but it's not always going to be Bijan. It's also hard to be creative because at one point in time we saw creativeness with Bijan on fourth and short or third and short, and then teams figured that out. So I just can't fathom that we want to bench a guy after nine games that's going to be the future of your franchise. That is just asinine to me.
I'm with you, but I do want to get back to that. We definitely have to get more.
I do want to remind you it was Michael Penix's ninth start. That's all I want to say about that.
I think that's fair.
But let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Keaton in Atlanta. Keaton, good morning. What's going on?
Yo.
What up, Keaton?
Hey, listen. I'm dang. So I've got a few points to make.
you know, Kyle Shanahan has had to watch practices against the most dynamic running back in all of the NFL for years now. So, unfortunately, he has a good idea of how to stop a very, very dynamic ball carrier like Bijan Robinson. So I knew coming into that game that Bijan probably wouldn't be as effective as he is against a lot of the other teams in the NFL.
That's fair.
With that being said, if you take Bijan Robinson out of the picture for the Atlanta Falcons, Zach Robinson is fired 2 weeks ago. I hope Zach Robinson's putting some money to the side to pay for some back surgeries later down the line for Bijan Robinson, because that man's carrying his coaching job right now.
Yeah, I'm going to be real, and I know that Bo's scoffing at that. I'm not sure he's not right. I'm not sure he's not right. Bijan's gotten you out of a ton of bad situations with how dynamic he can be making people miss tackles.
Yeah, I think Drake London's gotten you out of some bad situations.
That's a good call, too.
But the reality is that's why you draft guys in the top 10. I thought, you want to go there? Kyle Pitts played his ass off last night.
Kyle Pitts was – we talked about this in the postgame. I thought he was the biggest bright spot of the entire team.
But
him and Zach Harrison.
I mean, so we just named three guys that have carried the team. So, I mean, Bijan's doing what you – that's why you drafted Bijan 8. That's why you took heat to draft Bijan Robinson, because of the player he is, because he's a guy that can change the game. I mean, if you want to say that, Kyle Shanahan, is as much praise as we want to give him, what the hell did he do last night if there wasn't Christian McCaffrey? Because McCaffrey was their offense. I thought Kyle had a brilliant game plan as far as he thought that we had a weakness in the interior, and he said, I'm going to go after it. And I think that's really smart.
I think the difference for me is that Christian McCaffrey had run plays where he was 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, not being touched
last
night.
Bijan
Robinson had times where he's trying to miss tacklers in the backfield.
Well, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but if my guys up front can't win, what the hell can I do as an OC?
Design plays that help them win. That's what. A draw, a three count screen, a bootleg.
They ran. Well, first off, you know we don't run screens.
We didn't run three count screens.
We don't run screens very well. We never scored
a touchdown one last night.
I mean, we have not run screens very well on average. Now we did, but that we did on that one.
Goes back to
Bijan again. Our screens, and I'll give the caller credit. Our screens are set up for Bijan to seemingly miss a guy every time.
Every time
the first guy, but you build stuff around what he can do. That's a talent that he has.
Falcons are going to be our numero uno topic today because we are fresh off the – I mean, just a few hours ago this all happened. So you can tweet us right now at 929 Morning Shift with your thoughts, your concerns. Coming up, we're going to shift just a tiny bit. The college football firing we all knew was coming has happened. And we've got my Mac drop. Can you imagine seeing thousands of texts on your phone and not checking them? Just letting it tick up. Anxiety, right? Mm. So we're all about to find out who is the least on it within this studio next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a punchy show this morning. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan.
I'm in a good mood.
I know. You are fresh off your flight, though, from the West Coast. So
yeah, I got to give a shout out to Hank, who is a big listener and was one of our pilots and came and saw me. He was there to and back, came and saw me before we took off Saturday.
Nice.
And then I saw him when I got off. And then a Monica, one of our flight attendants, who brought me a blanket and a pillow.
That's so sweet.
Now you felt special. But they do that to everybody.
No, they didn't, because you know why? Because Arch had to ask for his. He's like, where's my blanket at? I was like, yeah. Yeah, you don't get one.
It was Hank and Monica?
Hank was our pilot. Yeah, okay. One of our pilots. But Monica is one of our flights. She's been our flight attendant since before I've ever been on there. And she was a flight attendant when Mike was on there. She's the best. She's the creme de la creme.
Well, thanks to both of you for taking care of our Beau. Heads up, we are going to have Dave Archer joining us early today, straight off the flight as well from last night's game. He's going to join us right at 7 o'clock. Moving on to college football, sorry Lane, Georgia beat Ole Miss 43-35 and handed the Rebels their first loss of the season.
I can't say enough about Georgia's offense in this one, and I know that people are going to focus on the defense because the defense did struggle. They have struggled mightily throughout most of the season, but the second half adjustments for Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann have been spot on most of the year, and I thought Mike Bobo had his best day, and I think Gunnar Stockton played lights out. It was impressive to watch that offense go to work.
That game turned on a dime in the fourth quarter. And, I mean, Trinidad Chambliss has had his way. I mean, Lane Kiffin had his way with that defense. And all of a sudden, they hit him. And it was like his clock sped up to where he was just like, it was like he was playing on rookie mode.
Yeah,
and from that drive on, he decided he was going to play it like
his
veteran.
Controller started vibrating,
and he just looked like a shell of the guy that had played the entire game. And that's a credit to Kirby. That's a credit to Schumann. That's a credit to the players on the field defensively. You're right, Gunnar Stockton and that offense, just the train kept a rolling. That's a really big win, man. Like I think that in this era with how many players they lost two first round picks that played on, well, that should have been on the both foot on the field last night. Jalen Walker's obviously out, that have played, you know, decently this year. They lose players every year. They lose players to the portal. Their depth is their secondary. I'm sorry, that Georgia secondary. Rusty and I can debate this. But they're not very good. They are not very good, and somehow they're still finding ways to mask that deficiency and win.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I think that a lot of the focus on the defense, it should be also on the offense and how well they played. Gunnar Stockton he's a dude. He's easy to pull for as well.
I want to say kudos to my cohorts here because Mike and Bo called it from the beginning. Georgia Tech is legit this year. They beat Duke 27-18, are up 7-0 for the first time since 1966.
I'm going to be real with you. I thought this was the one that I was looking at for them, and Duke was favored. Duke was a favored team in this matchup. Duke, I think they finished at a 2-point or 2.5-point favorite in this game at Duke at Wallace-Wade Stadium. Georgia Tech absolutely went out and handled freaking business. Like, this game was not – I know that they were tied at halftime, but this game is, to me, this was always Georgia Tech's game, and they closed hard.
Georgia Tech scored 20 straight points to go up 27-7. And in fact, at one point, 27-10, I should say, at one point, Haynes King's going in to score a touchdown that helped me on underdog. And he turns to the sideline and was like,
yeah, that was crazy, right? Like in real time, like, should I go down? Oh, God, I can't stop.
Yeah, and I was like, yes, because I screamed on the plane. How about that cover? Because I had him a touchdown in underdog. As much credit as you want to give the defense of – or we give defense of Georgia turning that game around in the fourth quarter, and the offense, dude, Haynes King in that offense was completely shut down the first. Manny Diaz came out with a great game plan. And then all of a sudden, they got it rolling. And that is – I'm sorry, but these noon games are brutal when you're on the road, especially at a place like Duke that they're a good team and it's a three-quarter full stadium. And the atmosphere is not quite what you know. It's different when it's Tuscaloosa or Athens and it is just packed house and there's an environment. That was like playing Charlotte. That was like playing the Panthers on the road.
Dude,
there's not much environment. It's tough. That's a – That these are the games they have not won, Mike, under, and now Brent Key has figured out how
completely
to win
agree.
Them.
Completely agree. These are the times they have had hiccups in years past. And I had this exact conversation about location and game time yesterday because Bama's going on the road this weekend to play at South Carolina, one of those noon games. And I was like, that is going to be very hard coming off four ranked games to play a South Carolina team that has been so bad this season. It feels very similar as far as the location inside of that game. But I'm with you, man. Hats off to Georgia Tech. I know that Mensah kind of had his way at time offensively, but they were able to hold Duke off of the scoreboard a lot in that game, and that's why it got lopsided.
Well, and the Florida Gators have finally made the long-awaited move to part ways with their head coach, Billy Napier, after 3-4 start. Apparently, the Gators owe Billy more than $21 million after firing him.
It's like an immediate 9.5, I think. He does not have a clause like Franklin does where he has to look for work, although Napier's a young guy. He's going to be back coaching. I wish it would have worked out. I really, really wanted him to work out there. I got a text Friday night from someone that kind of has a little bit of, you know, kind of where they're headed and said they are going to go hard for Kiffin. I'm good. I think Lane Kiffin has some wins. Look, Lane Kiffin has beat top 10 teams. I think that if they go with the Lane Kiffin thing, they need to make a promise to themselves. And I say they, I'm talking about the boosters and the alumni that are really throwing money into the program, that they're going to give them 4 years and stop overreacting and allowing it to. I'm so sick and damn tired of fan bases that they'll put a guy, a statue up 1 week, and the next week they're wanting to burn his house down. I mean, we got to stop with this stuff. Like, we've got to stop with firing coaches, because that's how programs go in the dumpster, and that's what Florida's been since Urban Meyer walked out the door.
I was going to say, I'm very curious to see kind of where they go with this Lane Kiffin thing, and I know that all coaches are not created equal in the, you know, systems they come from and their background and everything else, but it seems like they've gone a couple of different routes with the last, was it four since Urban? You know, you hired the hot coordinator in Will Muschamp, the defensive guy, the gritty guy, and then, you know, you go off that, you hire Jim McElwain, who could, you know, hopefully straighten out the offense after Will Muschamp had made it look, you know, the offense looked terrible. And then Jim McElwain didn't do enough, and it's, you know, it's Mullen, and Min Mullen doesn't want to recruit, so it's Napier. It just, like, I'm with you. If Lane's the guy, then Lane's the guy. Well, go get Lane Kiffin. I'm curious the route they're going, because it just feels like, you know, they kind of keep repeating themselves.
Here's Lane Kiffin. 2020 was a weird year because it's COVID and he only got 10 games. It was 5-5. It was also his first year there. But then 10-3, 8-5, 11-2, 10-3. That's what that you if you get back to there, I think it's fine. The what got Billy Napier fired this year, if you want to ask me, was the fact that he had a championship level type defense that they couldn't score points. You have this huge, all these recruits. Dallas Wilson might be one of the best receivers in college football, and you can't find ways to get him the ball. The offense, which is his, and he refused to give up play calling. Refused. And Billy Gonzalez is going to be the interim wide receiver coach. Mike, I think you are familiar with that name. Billy Gonzalez was a big recruiter when Urban Meyer was there and those national championship teams, was there, I believe, a little bit with Muschamp. He's been around that program for quite a while. He'll be the interim. And I would like to think, no matter who the coach is, they might want Billy Gonzalez to stay around that program.
Well, got a big game coming up pretty soon, so that'll be interesting to watch.
Oh, they have a bye week. Think they can win? You think they'll score?
I meant both teams in 2 weeks. That are facing off.
I know. It's Florida, Georgia. Trust me. I don't forget.
I think that you can make a lot of people feel good if you're able to pull that one off, but I don't see it. But it is what it is. We'll build up to it.
Well, I want to remind you that each Wednesday night you can join Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's all brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So the Atlanta Falcons social media team, they're always doing creative things, and I love following it because I love the Falcons. And so they were asking the guys as they were getting on the plane to head out west how many unread text messages they have. A couple hundred here and there was really
couple
the answer.
Hundred.
Couple
hundred.
Until we get to Bijan Robinson.
350.
954.
That's too many to count.
You got 1,000. I got 200.
Oh, only 430.
I got 3,600. I don't know where they came from, but it's been, you know, probably like
1,500 of those is probably like recruiting coaches from like back in high school.
Zero. I stay up to date.
Bijan's 3,000.
Bijan has 3,000 unread emails or texts?
Text.
Yeah, we're just wired different, I guess. But we're wired different athletically, too.
What a great answer.
I mean, of course, Kirk is like, I have none unread. And Bijan's like, 3,600. Are you kidding
me? How do you function with that?
How does that even happen?
That's crazy.
That's probably got y'all notifications are silenced.
Yeah, but I see the badge and it bothers
me. Is he saying it's been that way since high school?
I think
you're saying it's the recruiters from high school.
Recruiters from high school. Yeah, so like 8 years?
Yeah, I tend to believe
that's
from high school.
That's insane.
I'm just shocked you still had the same number from high school.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I've had the same number my whole life.
Well, I know, but sometimes some players.
You're saying he's like a celebrity.
Well, sometimes their numbers get leaked, and you know you have to change the number.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
It wasn't a shot.
No, I don't know. Yeah.
So I wanted everyone, because I know none of us have that many unread text messages, but emails are a different story. I would love for everyone to pull up their email and see how many unread emails you have. I want to know who has the most.
Okay, well, I don't do that, though.
What
not
do you
at
mean
all.
You don't do
Dude,
that?
Dude, I don't keep. I say select. I you know, mark as red, like the whole
everything.
Thing.
Okay, everything. So you're like
I'll tell you what I tell you where I fall apart, though, on this. So the updated apps. I never update my apps. And I have like 100 apps on my phone.
Fair.
All the badge is always at like 102.
Yeah.
So you got to relearn how to use the app.
I just got them automatic updates on the apps.
Not me.
What about emails, Bo?
So I've got multiple email accounts on my phone.
Yep.
So my Yahoo account, which I barely use, it's really my fantasy football. I just signed up for fantasy football, has 646. My Gmail accounts combined have 1,512.
What about you, Dylan?
Oh, this is about to get embarrassing.
I don't know.
Across my two Gmail accounts, I have 24,798 unread.
I didn't even know they let you have that many.
And I have one Yahoo account, and I have 20,313.
Does the badge go up that high, like on the app?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it does. It goes up to 24,000?
Yeah, if you look at it right here, it's 24,798 for Gmail. For Yahoo, 20,313.
That's insane. There's I thought I was going to have the most.
I will no longer send Dylan an email without a read receipt.
Bro, that's crazy. I didn't even know badges went up that high. I really didn't.
A lot of them are junk emails, a lot of, you know, not
exactly.
Important emails.
I'm the one that reports them as spam. I'm like, nah, man, I can't deal with this.
Remember you said you want to trade lives with Kirk Cousins? I'm seeing how that's happening. So my curiosity, Dylan, then, because I have 7,007 right now.
Okay.
But I know the number should be 7,003. Do you have a number that you know it should be at and you're like, oh, there's like four more emails right now?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
I thought that was a good question. Yeah. Like he has a baseline that he has to stick to.
Goodness. All right.
No baseline. I do go through my email, obviously, and I, you know, look through important ones that I need to read and actually respond to. And the other ones, someday, I'll just clean it out. And whatever day that happens, I'll let y'all know.
Dylan's our own little Bijan. How adorable.
That's crazy, man. That's nuts.
All right. Coming up. Falcons former QB Dave Archer, now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network.
Analyst.
Is going to join us early. He is fresh off the plane from out west. He is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.